I want you to do something for me right now. Mentally, I mean.
Yep.
I want you to just, you know, walk through your house, go into the kitchen, or maybe it's the spare bedroom or the garage, and open that one specific drawer.
Oh, I know the one.
You know exactly the one I'm talking about.
The universal drawer, the
Ooh.
drawer of shame.
Exactly. The drawer of doom. It's like this this archaeological dig site in your own home where all your old electronics go to die.
But they don't quite die, do they?
No, they just
Mm-hmm.
linger. It's a graveyard of tangled cables that don't fit any device you currently own.
There's definitely a phone from 3 generations ago in there. The one with the cracked screen you swore you'd get fixed.
Yes, that one. Maybe a remote control for a DVD player you sold back in what, 2015?
I think everyone has one. I really do. It's the physical manifestation of, I might need this someday.
Right. And it just sits there. And every time you open it looking for a battery or, I don't know, a pen, you see this tangle of plastic and metal and silicon, and you feel this low-level hum of guilt.
So you close it quickly.
You just shut it and walk away. But here's the central question we're going to wrestle with today in this deep dive. When you look at that drawer, what do you actually see?
Okay.
Do you see trash or do you see resources?
And that is the fundamental question. I mean, that shift in perspective from seeing waste to seeing a resource is the entire ballgame.
Right.
It's what distinguishes the linear economy, which is just take, make, use, toss from the circular economy.
But that's the problem, isn't it? How do you teach that shift in perspective, especially to
It's
kids?
so hard. If you stand up in front of a classroom and lecture about circular economics, you're going to lose them in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Their eyes just glaze over.
Which brings us to today's deep dive. We are looking at a fascinating case study that tried to force that perspective shift, not through a lecture, but through a game. We're heading to Roquetes in Catalonia, Spain,
Yep.
and we're looking at a project that was nominated for an award during the European Week for Waste Reduction. This was back in 2025. It has quite the title, so bear with me here.
I'm ready.
Que en fac del meu sapares, jo qui aides perdonar los nusos.
Which translates beautifully to, what do I do with my devices, games, and ideas to give them a second life? I love that. A second life.
And the mission of this deep dive is to really unpack how they took a topic as frankly dry and technical as we waste electrical and electronic equipment and turned it into a detective story. We're going to look at the psychology of the investigation, the hierarchy of waste, and why this specific partnership in Spain offers a blueprint that honestly every town should probably copy.
I think so too. It's a master class in behavioral design, really. And it starts with understanding the context.
So let's set the scene. This action took place in November 2025, and the backdrop is the UWWR.
Right, the European Week for Waste Reduction. This is a massive initiative across Europe, but every year they pick a specific theme to rally around so the messaging is focused.
And in 2025, that theme was WE,
We.
which is an acronym that sounds kind of fun to say WE, but it represents a massive, massive headache for the planet.
It really does. I mean, waste electrical and electronic equipment is essentially anything with a plug, a cable, or a battery. And it's one of the fastest growing waste streams on Earth.
When you think about it, it makes sense.
Oh, totally. We consume technology at a staggering rate. We buy it, we use it, it breaks, or, more often it just stops being the latest thing, and we discard it.
And because it's complex stuff, it's not like a banana peel. You can't just throw it in the compost. We don't know what to do with it.
So it goes in the drawer of doom.
Exactly.
So the EWWR campaign came up with these slogans that I think are really powerful because they challenge that passivity, that inaction.
One was, Conecta el valor, apaga el residuo.
Switch on the value, switch off the waste. I like that. It's clever. It uses the language of electronics, switching on and off, to describe the value itself.
Precisely. It implies that the value is still there, you know, sitting inside that broken toaster or that old phone. You just have to switch it on through your actions. The hashtag was simply hashtag switch off the waste.
But a slogan is just words on a screen, unless you have an organization to execute it. And this is where the Roquetes story gets really interesting structurally.
Right, looking at the source material here, this wasn't just the city council acting alone. You have the Roquetes City Council, specifically their environmental management department.
So the public administration
The
side.
public admin side, yeah. They're the ones who make the policies. But then they partnered with an organization called La Segona Volta,
La Segona Volta.
which in English means the second time around, or you could say the second lab. And they're a local social economy entity.
I want to pause on that term, social economy entity. What does that actually mean in this context? Because it's not a term we hear a lot.
It's a crucial distinction, though. A social economy entity is an organization where the primary goal isn't profit maximization for shareholders.
Their goal is social benefit. In this case, environmental sustainability, local job creation, community resilience. They are the ones actually doing the work of the circular economy. They're the ones on the ground, fixing the washing machines, refurbishing the furniture, and reselling it.
So it bridges that gap between, you know, government bureaucracy and the actual reality on the street.
Exactly.
Usually the government just puts out a flyer that says, recycle correctly, please. But here they said, let's go to the people who are actually fixing things.
It's the definition of leading by example. And the sources note that this partnership reinforces trust. It shows the administration isn't just regulating or lecturing from on high. They're collaborating with local solutions.
That makes a lot of sense.
It creates a local circular economy network that connects the school, the municipality, and the social enterprise. And it validates the work La Segona Volta is doing every single day.
Okay, so let's get into the action itself. The core of this deep dive is what they call the investigation game.
The fun part.
The organizers recognized that their target audience here was middle and upper primary school pupils. So we're talking roughly 10 to 12-year-olds.
A tough crowd.
The toughest. If you show them a PowerPoint presentation about landfill density, they're checking out immediately.
Oh, you've lost them. You cannot lecture a 10-year-old about resource scarcity and expect them to care.
Yeah.
You have to make it tangible. You have to give them agency.
So they created a mystery. A detective scenario. And it started before the kids even arrived at the venue. They had an entry ticket.
This is a great hook. I love this part. The participants were invited to bring a real object from home. An old mobile phone, broken headphones, a remote control that stopped working.
They were asked to raid their own drawer of doom.
Yes.
I love that because it immediately makes it personal. It's not, let's talk about waste in the abstract. It's, let's talk about my broken headphones. This specific object in my hand.
Totally. But what about the kids who forgot or, you know, didn't have anything they could bring?
The organizers were prepared for that. The sources mentioned they had a set of electronic object cards. The list included things like an old radio, a broken speaker, a computer mouse, a keyboard.
So everyone walks in holding a patient, whether it's a real one or a virtual one.
Exactly, a patient. And now they are detectives. Their mission is to determine the fate of this object. They aren't just being told where to throw it.
No.
They have to investigate the possibilities first.
And this is where the structure gets brilliant. The activity was built around three distinct stations. And these aren't just random stations. They correspond directly to the waste hierarchy.
Okay.
But the physical journey matters. You have to walk through them in order. You can't skip ahead.
So let's walk through it with them. I want to visualize this. So I'm a 10-year-old kid. I'm holding a computer mouse that doesn't click anymore. I walk up to station one.
Station one is REUs.
Or
in Catalan, Ritlitza.
Okay.
This is the absolute first line of defense. The focus here is extending the lifespan of the object just as it is. The core message is, extend the life of the device before buying a new one.
So the detective has to ask,
right,
what does this thing still work at all?
Right. Can I sell it? Can I donate it?
Yeah.
But what if it's kind of broken, like your mouse? The source mentions creative second use options.
Ah. Okay,
this is the fun part. It asks the student to decouple the object from its original purpose. So, okay, maybe the mouse doesn't work as a mouse anymore, but could it be a prop for a school play? Could it be used in an art project? Could the cable be used to tie something up?
It's forcing you to see the material rather than the function.
Exactly. It challenges the very definition of useless.
Mm-hmm.
If it can serve a purpose, any purpose at all, it isn't waste yet. It's still a resource.
Okay, so I've looked at my mouse. I've decided I can't really sell it, and I'm not building a robot sculpture today, so I have to move on.
You've exhausted the reuse option, so you move to station two.
Station two is repair. Repara. Now, this is my favorite part of the outline because they make a distinction here that I think most adults don't even understand, let alone kids.
It's the distinction between user repairs and professional repairs.
Mm-hmm.
This is huge. It's so important.
Break that down. What counts as a user repair in this context?
Well, the source lists things like changing batteries or cleaning the contacts. Think about how many toys or remote controls are thrown away just because the battery terminals have that little bit of blue-green corrosion on them.
Which a bit of vinegar and a Q-tip fixes in literally 10 seconds.
Exactly. Or maybe it's just dust in the charging port of a phone that's stopping it from charging.
Mm.
The user repair concept teaches the kids that they are allowed to touch the technology.
That's a good point.
We've been conditioned to think that electronics are these sealed black boxes that we can't possibly understand. The station says, no, look at it. Can you open the back? Is it just a loose screw?
It empowers them. It tells them you don't need a degree in electrical engineering to fix some of this stuff.
Right. The message is, small repairs can avoid waste. But then, crucially, they also acknowledge professional repair. So if your mouse creates a spark or needs soldering.
Maybe a 10-year-old shouldn't do that.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's trash. It just means you need to find a professional. It introduces the idea of a repair network, that there are people whose job it is to fix things.
Okay, so we've tried reuse, we've tried repair, both user and professional, and we've decided it's a no-go.
Yeah.
The mouse is truly dead. The plastic is cracked. The internals are fried. Now and only now.
Only now do you get a Station 3.
Station 3, the Wii Point, the punt, R-A-E.
Mm.
And it's so significant that this is the last stop on the journey.
It has to be. In our current throwaway culture, this is usually the first stop.
Yeah.
It's glitchy. Oh, just recycle it.
Yeah.
We feel good about recycling. We think we're saving the planet.
Sure.
But this game frames recycling as the last resort. It's what you do when all else fails.
And the focus here is just on correct disposal.
Right. If prevention through reuse and repair is impossible, then and only then do we recycle. But it has to be done correctly. The organizers provided information on where the local DXLaria, the collection point, is located. They explained why separation is vital.
And why is it vital? I mean, why can't I just toss that mouse in the regular bin?
Two reasons. Toxicity and recovery. That little mouse has copper in the cord, probably tiny amounts of gold on the circuit board, plastic in the shell, maybe some other heavy metals.
Right.
If you bury that in a landfill, you lose those valuable resources forever, and you risk leaching toxic chemicals into the ground and the water.
Right.
But if you take it to the Wii Point, those materials can be properly harvested and used to make, well, a new mouse.
So you're closing the loop.
You're closing the loop. The message is, if it has no second life, take it to the right place.
And by physically walking past reuse and repair to get there, the students build this mental barrier. They learn that throwing it away actually requires justification. You have to prove to yourself that you can't reuse or repair it first.
It completely flips the script on what our default action should be.
Now, context is everything. We mentioned earlier that this wasn't held in a school gym or a sterile conference room. It was held at the La Sagona Volta facilities.
Yes.
Why does that matter so much?
It matters immensely. In educational theory, we call this situated learning. You are learning about a concept in the abstract. You are learning about it in the very context where it applies.
So they are literally standing in a hub where the circular economy is actually happening all around them.
Yes. They aren't just hearing about repair. They are seeing a workbench with tools on it. They can smell the solder. They see shelves of refurbished items, maybe a washing machine that was saved from the landfill last week, or a row of repaired laptops ready to be sold.
It demystifies the whole process. La Sagona Volta isn't just a logo on a worksheet anymore.
No.
It's a physical place they have now visited. They know where it is.
It creates a mental map. If 6 months later that kid's PlayStation controller breaks, they don't just see a broken object. They have a memory of a real place where things get fixed. They know the building exists. It makes the solution tangible and accessible.
And this wasn't just a school field trip, right? The sources mentioned that this was integrated into the wider community. There was an open call to everyone.
That's right. Between November 24th and 30th, the municipality put out a call to all citizens. Bring us your unused devices. So it wasn't just a simulation for the kids.
Ah, so real stuff was coming in.
Real devices were actively being diverted from the waste stream. The source explicitly says devices were identified for reuse and diverted from disposal.
That validates the whole concept. It proves to the students that this isn't just a game. It's a real working system.
And it validates that local circular economy network we talked about. You have the schools bringing the learners, the citizens bringing the raw material, and the social enterprise providing the expertise and the facility. It's a closed loop happening right there in front of them.
I want to zoom out a bit to the philosophy here. The nomination form for the UWWR award had checkboxes for reduce, reuse, and recycle. And they checked all of them, but the emphasis is so clearly on the first two.
Heavily. There is a quote in the source material that really sums up the whole philosophy. The best waste is the one that is not generated.
That sounds so obvious when you say it, but our entire economy is basically built on generating waste.
It is. Absolutely. And that's why the source mentions teaching about consumption patterns and obsolescence. This whole game is essentially a counter-narrative to the buy-buy-buy culture we live in.
The throwaway culture tells us, oh, it's broken, great, now you get to buy the new version. It's shinier and has one more feature.
Exactly. This game forces a pause. It inserts a critical decision-making process between the moment something breaks and the action of throwing it in the trash can. It forces the question, wait, can I fix this?
And that pause.
That pause is where the circular economy lives. If you can get a 10-year-old to pause and check the batteries before throwing away a toy, you have genuinely changed a consumption pattern, maybe for the rest of their life.
And they did this through empowerment. There was a specific activity mentioned called the Mini Creative Challenge.
Yes, this was tied into the reuse station. They had to imagine or even draw a new use for an object.
What's the point of that?
It builds a mental muscle. Creative reuse isn't a talent you're born with. It's a skill you have to practice. It's a way of seeing the world.
So it's about seeing potential where others see junk.
Right. Looking at a broken computer monitor and seeing a potential cat bed or a planter for the garden or a light box for tracing drawings. That requires a shift in vision. The game provided a safe space to practice that vision. It's not about getting it right. It's about exercising the imagination.
Okay, let's talk about execution. How did they actually pull this off? They had about 200 students involved in total.
Yes, the numbers are pretty good. It was primarily from two schools. Escola Mistra Marcelli Domingo, about 150 students from there, and then Escola Ravel de Cristo with another 35.
For a town the size of Roquetes, that's a significant chunk of the local youth population.
It really is. You're reaching a critical mass of households through their kids.
And the communication strategy was pretty robust. They didn't just rely on one thing. They used Instagram, Facebook, the municipal website.
Multi-channel approach.
But I really like the visuals they used, which are in the source files. They had this graphic of a switch-off power button and another one of a magnifying glass.
The magnifying glass is perfect, right? It symbolizes the investigation, the detective work we've been talking about, and the power button ties directly back to that slogan, connect the value.
It's a very cohesive visual identity.
It is. It didn't look like a boring government notice. It looked like an event, like something you wanted to be a part of.
And they gathered feedback, too. Not with some long, complicated survey, but with a smiley face evaluation form.
The full return participants, yeah.
Yeah.
Simple, visual, effective. Did you learn what to do with your devices? Pick a smiley face, a neutral face, or a frowny face.
And the feedback?
Reportedly very positive. The source material says that teachers praised the practical, participatory nature of it. And again, that makes total sense. Teachers love it when students can get out of the classroom and touch things and do things. It makes the lesson stick.
And we touched on this a bit, but the tangible impact, the waste avoided, that's key here. They were still consolidating the final kilogram count when the report was written, but the fact that items were physically diverted is the metric that really matters.
Is the lasting impact that's mentioned in the nomination. It's not just about the kilogram saved during that 1 week in November.
Right.
It's about connecting citizens to a permanent repair circuit. Now, those 200 kids, and by extension, their parents, know where La Segona Volta is. They know it exists as an option.
That's the real win. You've put the location on their mental map for good.
Precisely. The next time a toaster breaks in one of those 200 households, there is a non-zero chance someone says, hey, remember that place we went to on that field trip? Maybe they can fix it. You've planted a seed. That's the real impact.
So let's get to the big question. Why was this action nominated for a European-level award? What makes it exemplary in the eyes of the jury? Because on the surface, you could say it's just kids looking at old phones.
Yeah, but it's so much more. I think it comes down to three things, really. Mm. First, as we've said, is originality.
A gamification.
The gamification. Turning waste management, which is a chore, into a detective story is just clever. It removes the guilt and the shame associated with waste and replaces it with curiosity and problem solving.
It's not you are bad for making trash. It's can you solve this puzzle?
Exactly. It engages the problem-solving part of the brain rather than the shame part of the brain. The second big factor is replicability.
Ah, so other places can do this.
Easily. The source highlights that this is low cost and easily replicable. Any town with a community center or a repair cafe or even just an empty garage could do this. You don't need high-tech equipment. You need some old junk, some tables, and some passionate people to guide the kids.
It's a template. You could do this in Berlin, in Tokyo, in Chicago.
Anywhere. And the third factor, and this is crucial, is the social value. the collaboration with that social economy entity we talked about.
La Segunda Volta.
Right. It supports local jobs. It keeps the resources, both the materials and the money, inside the community. It's not about shipping the e-waste off to a massive processing plant three countries away. It's about dealing with it right there in Roquettes.
It effectively demonstrates the role of public administration, not just as a regulator, which is how we usually see them, but as an educator, a lead-by-example approach.
And that is a shift we are seeing more and more in forward-thinking cities. They're realizing they can't just legislate their way to zero waste. They have to build the culture that supports it. You have to change the software, the human behavior, the culture, before the hardware, the recycling plants and collection systems can ever work effectively.
There was a closing ritual to the activity that I found really touching. The students couldn't just finish the game and leave. They had to verbalize a commitment.
Yes. They had to stand up and say something like, "From today, when a charger breaks, I will check if I can repair it before I throw it away."
Public declarations are powerful, aren't they? Even if it's just in front of your classmates, it sets an intention. It makes it real.
It anchors the learning. It takes it from something I did at school today to something I am now going to do in my life. It creates a tiny contract with yourself.
So let's unpack this for the listener. We've been talking about Roquettes and these students, but this applies to every single person listening right now.
It does. We all have that drawer. We all have that moment where a device fails and our heart sinks a little.
And the challenge this project poses to all of us is, are you skipping the investigation step?
That is the provocative thought to end on, I think. We have been trained by society, by advertising, by convenience, to go from broken immediately to dispose.
Straight line.
It's a straight line. We skip all the middle steps. We skip the diagnosis. We skip the, can I open this up without breaking it? We skip the, is there a YouTube tutorial for this exact problem?
We skip the detective phase entirely.
We do. And by skipping that phase, we are throwing away value. We're throwing away precious resources that had to be mined from the earth. And we're also throwing away the opportunity to learn how our world actually works. We become passive consumers who are helpless when things break.
So the challenge for you, the listener, is this. The next time you hold a dead device in your hand, before you toss it in the bin, even the recycling bin, ask yourself, have I done the investigation?
Have I checked the batteries? Have I cleaned the contacts? Have I looked for my local version of La Segunda Volta, my local repair cafe?
Because the resource is only waste if you decide it is.
Until then, it's just a mystery waiting to be solved.
That is a fantastic way to look at it. Investigating your trash might just be the most valuable thing you do all week. That's it for this deep dive into the 2025 EWWR Roquettes Initiative. Thanks for listening and good luck with your own drawer of doom.
Happy investigating.